The most beautiful thing about our collection of psalms that we get from the Old Testament is that no matter what you're going through in life, or no matter what emotion you are feeling in the moment, there's a psalm for that. If you are feeling about the awe and grandeur of God like you might be on a day like today, when the sun is out and the colors are starting to change and it's going to be warm and all of these things, Psalm 104 is your psalm. Go home and sing it to yourself this afternoon. If you're feeling terrible about something that you did in your past, well, Psalm 51 is that psalm. And we get to say it every year because, on Ash Wednesday, we assume we all feel terrible about something in our past. At least collectively, we often should feel terrible, and we pray that psalm together. When you have felt the real forgiveness of God deep in your soul for that terrible thing that you've done, Psalm 32 is your psalm. When you feel like you're trapped on every side, or really the foxhole psalm, is Psalm 22. And then, there are too many to number, but if you feel like crushing your enemies, there are plenty of psalms for that as well. But the psalm this morning, though we actually had an evening prayer on Wednesday night, and somebody was there said, oh, such a familiar psalm, it's like an old friend. But I think it expresses a feeling, especially when we read it closely, that none of us really have. Because it starts out with this great vision of how awesome the universe is. How the cycle of day and night spins time forward, and that we... says that, you know, the night tells its story to the day, and they just this beautiful imagery of how well ordered and magnificent the heavens are. And then these two great images of joy, the sun bursting forth from his tent like a bridegroom on the day after his wedding, and the champion after it's run his course. He's so happy. It's like the end of the Super Bowl. And the team that has won is jumping up and down. But it doesn't tell us why it's so excited about this till we get to verse 7. And when we get to verse 7, we'll find out the reason for this joy. And the reason for this joy is the law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. And I'm going to tell you the one thing a lot of things I say from the pulpit I'm not very confident about. This thing I'm super confident about. Nobody here this morning has ever said to themselves, I love the law. Especially those of you that had the law as your profession. So, can you imagine if we were people that love rules so much that it made us feel like a bridegroom on their honeymoon or winning the Super Bowl? But it's more than that. The psalm starts to spin out how great rules make the psalmist feel. Makes them feel that they want to desire these rules more than gold. Folks, the reason I'm confident of this is you're Americans, and I know you don't love anything more than you love gold. How could you love the law like that? And that the law in the mouth, when it's meditated on, is sweeter than honey. Honey from the comb. Can you imagine if your perspective was like the perspective of the psalmist about the law of God? But it's really not. In fact, we've already seen it in our liturgy today, a day where we get to hear the Ten Commandments. We get this very penitential collect. We get a first hymn this morning about the blood of Jesus Christ on a day when we're going to read the Ten Commandments. We're programmed to feel bad when we hear the law of God, and not to feel the way the psalmist feels in this psalm about it. In fact, you often, if I ask, you know, those of you that are Episcopalians with Prayer Book 1979, and I ask you where the Holy Eucharist service starts, it starts, you would tell me, on page 355 of the Prayer Book. That's not true. It has two preambles, and it can start on page 350. And you know what's on page 350? The Ten Commandments. Why don't we start on 350? I'll tell you why. Because the Ten Commandments make us feel bad. And if we do start the service on 350, you know what season it is? It's Lent. We're supposed to feel bad. This is one of the changes from those of you that lived through the prayer book change. If you were here before 1979, how did the service start every week? With the Ten Commandments and you on your knees. So how did we get to this place where we think rules inhibit our freedom, where we think rules are ineffective to get anything done? From this perspective of the psalmist, to when he thinks about those Ten Commandments that we heard this morning, I mean, I could physically feel in this place people's discomfort when those were being read. How did we get from the position of joy and honey in the mouth to feeling like I need to feel bad right now when I hear these? Well, I think there's a couple of things in the psalmist's perspective that change our minds. One of them is he tells us that by these your servant is enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Now, I've always found it odd that people, when they hear the Ten Commandments, start squirming. So, because this is what I would call the net with the big holes in it, the Ten Commandments are not small potatoes crimes in here. So, the fact that we've been programmed to think thou shalt not, like, perjure oneself, which is what bear false witness is, or thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain, which literally means you shouldn't sign an oath with God's name on it if you don't intend to keep it. It doesn't mean don't make oaths in God's name. It just says if your intention is not to keep that oath, don't put the Lord's name on it. These are big things. So the first thing is, if those 10 crimes make you feel uncomfortable, we need to have a chat. And all right? So that's the first thing. These are big. How did they start to make us feel so uncomfortable? Why would someone use them to do that? The other thing that's odd in these is there is a little bit of punishment built into those, but the blessing part is much greater. The blessings that are given in there are so much on a magnitude grander than the punishments. That's another one of the innovations of this code in its time. And I think if you start to take those things into consideration, the bigness of the crimes described, and then the bigness of the blessings for keeping these, you begin to see that the psalmist's perspective is different, because the psalmist sees the outcome of keeping these or not keeping these is different than you or I. The psalmist sees these is bringing a way to have a just and comfortable society. Can you imagine that these are gifts to you? In fact, we'll get it sometime in the lectionary, and I'll probably preach on it a bunch, the idea of Sabbath. Jesus makes it clear that the Sabbath is not an onerous task. It is a gift. Can you imagine in your own life to devote an entire day of every week to reflection and worship and leisure? Do you know how that would change your life? Do you imagine a world in which everybody is faithful to the people they have said they will be faithful to? If they did, we wouldn't have all kinds of what we would call tragic lover movies. Can you imagine a world where people didn't bear false witness against their neighbor? I mean, can you imagine that? Those are not things to keep you from doing them. I think God is saying, these are real big things. These are real big things that tear apart society. These are real big things that show that we don't love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's the psalmist's perspective. The psalmist loves these things so much because he envisions, when he thinks of these, not the way broken them, but he envisions the world that would be if they were kept. And they aren't big, hard things to do necessarily. And he also envisions the blessings that come, not the punishment that is actually not even present in the law code itself. If you thought about law as a way to set you free instead of a way just to tie you down, how would your life be different? Where society saw laws as ways to set us free and not ways to tie us down, how would the world be different? And if you, for a moment even, thought that laws would taste like honey in your mouth, how could you love your neighbor as yourself in new and different ways? Amen.